Unmask the Heart is the theme of the BCC's year-end giving campaign. The trials of 2020 have revealed many things going on in our hearts, both the worries and fears we have, as well as who or what we worship. Our prayer is that these trials will draw us closer to God and closer to one another, and that is at the heart of what we strive to do at the BCC. Will you help us reach our year-end goals by becoming a monthly giver or sending a special year-end donation? You can also help support us by sharing our resources and social media posts using the hashtag #UnmaskTheHeart. You're listening to 1514, a podcast of the Biblical Counseling Coalition. 1514 draws its name from Romans 15:14, where the Apostle Paul encourages the church that they are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to counsel one another. I'm your host and the Executive Director of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, Curtis Solomon, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Welcome to today's episode of 1514. It's a pleasure to have you with us. If you're brand new to the podcast, I encourage you to check out our archive and pick a few of your favorite biblical counselors to go back and hear an interview with them. If you've been a longtime listener, we really appreciate your loyalty, and I think you're really going to enjoy today's episode. Today, I'm connected virtually across the globe to a longtime biblical counselor and a mentor and teacher to many of us in the biblical counseling movement, Dr. Wayne Mack. So, Dr. Mack, thank you so much for being with us on 1514.
Great to be with you.
Well, sir, I'm going to introduce you briefly, but then I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself. For those who maybe don't know Dr. Mack, Dr. Mack was the chairperson of the undergraduate and graduate programs at the Master's University for a number of years. Before that, he was pastoring in a number of churches. He was also one of the founding members of NAINC, which is now the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. He's written over 27 books, which you've probably used in your counseling. And then a few years back, he moved to South Africa and has started ACBC Africa and works as an elder there in his church and continues to train people in biblical counseling through a ministry, Strengthening Ministries Training Institute. So, Dr. Mack, I know I couldn't cover your whole life there, so anything else you want to fill us in on?
No, that's fine.
Well, tell us a little bit more about you, Carol, your family, and what you are doing now.
Okay. Well, I mentioned I'm a graduate of Wheaton College. So is my wife. Two of us graduated from Wheaton back in the end of the 1950s. And from there, I went on to Wheaton Graduate School and Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, which was just next door to Wheaton in Chicago, and then came east to finish my MDiv at the same seminary that Jay Adams graduated from. Jay was a few years before me, but at the same time, we both graduated from the same seminary, and then later on, Jay, of course, taught at Westminster Theology, both on the East Coast and on the West Coast as well, and I went on to get my doctorate in marriage and family and biblical counseling issues at Westminster Theological Seminary, and Jay was my mentor, or as he would have called himself, my tormentor, as he was in charge of the whole program there. And so we went on from there to pastor a church in Media, Pennsylvania, planted the church actually there. And it was while we were there at that particular church that I became aware of the fact that I was not really equipped to do counseling. I had, of course, gone through seminary, and all of my years in seminary, I never had one course in biblical counseling. I graduated, of course, from Wheaton College and took a lot of Bible courses and theology courses, Well, one thing that they didn't offer at that point was biblical counseling courses. And so I came out of Wheaton and out of my graduate schools, never having had a course in counseling, took my first pastorate in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, at Guilford Hills Baptist Church. And by default, they never actually told me this in any of the courses that I took in graduate school or in university. I never said, you know, we don't believe in biblical counseling, but I never taught any courses in it. And so by default, I got the idea that biblical counseling wasn't really all that important, that I was trained in Greek and Hebrew and church history and Christian education and so forth. And by default, they didn't say biblical counseling isn't important. They just didn't teach it. And so I came out with an MDiv degree, took my first church, and had no idea that I was supposed to do much else except teach and preach. And I knew a little bit about how to do that, but I sure didn't know how to counsel. And so in my first pastorate, I did very little counseling, and someone gave me a book during that period of time, and it happened to be, I by the name of Jay Adams. It was called Competent to Counsel. And I what I did initially in my pastorate is, if somebody had some serious problems that weren't fixed through my preaching or teaching, the idea was that they would go off to see a psychologist. If they could find a Christian who was a psychologist, then go to see the psychologist. But then I had people going off, and they were coming back having been given counsel that I would never give, either in the pulpit or if I were talking to them personally. And so I didn't know what it meant to really counsel. I knew what it was to teach, but not really to counsel. And so this book shows up, and I read this book by Jay Adams, in which he says in Romans 15:14 that God has given us to people who are filled with goodness and filled with knowledge, that they're competent to counsel one another. And so I did very little counseling, didn't really believe that I was equipped or competent to counsel. And I moved from that church, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, to a church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And while I was there in that church in Philadelphia, I heard that there's a guy by the name of Jay Adams, the same guy who wrote the book I just read, who was teaching at Westminster Theological Seminary, and he was offering courses for pastors. And they had a counseling center. And what happened was that he would pastors would come, and then they would sit in and watch Jay while he counseled, or George Scipione was another one of the guys who was counseling there, and I think John Bettler even did a little bit of counseling there. And anyway, we would sit in and observe Jay. The guy that I watched most was Jay, and we'd sit in and watch him counsel. And then after we had been involved in counseling sessions for the day from 4 o'clock till 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening, we discussed what we saw happening in the counseling cases, and we would ask them questions and why they did what they did and so forth. And one day, Jay couldn't be there. And so Jay said, "Well, you take over." And so I took over a case that Jay had been counseling, and did the counseling at that particular point. So that was my first, really, apart from reading Jay's book and benefiting from what he had to say in the book, Competent Counsel. My first exposure to real biblical counseling was to watch Jay do the counseling, and George Scipione was there as well, and John Bettler. And we sat in with them, and then a bunch of us pastors, we would get together for what they called the supper seminar, and we would go over the cases that they counseled. That was my introduction at that particular point. And as I said, I was pastoring a church about 45 minutes away from their counseling center, which was at that point in Hatfield, Pennsylvania. They were using the facilities of a church. And it was there that I also met at the counseling center Dr. Bob Smith, who was a medical doctor who had gotten hooked on biblical counseling. And he had come east, and he happened to be at the counseling center. And I got to know Bob, and we became really good friends and ended up being a part of the board that founded what was called, at that point, called NANC. Mm-hmm. That was in the early 1970s. And we founded the organization, which now is ACBC. At that point, it was NANC, N-A-N-C, the National Association of Nouthetic Counselors, and became the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, and got to know Bob at that point. And I was invited to be part of the board of NANC. And so I was with NANC from the very beginning in the early 1970s. And then one day while I was at the counseling center talking to Jay, and Jay said, you know, we're going to start a doctoral program at Westminster in counseling. Do you think you'd be interested in becoming part of that doctoral program? And I said, would I be interested? Absolutely. And so it was at that point that I enrolled at Westminster Seminary and came through the doctoral program with Jay being my mentor, and then one of us at that point had to write as our thesis a particular tome or book that could be used in the area of biblical counseling, especially in the church. At that point, Bob Somerville was in the same program. Mm. And I can remember part of the program was that they assigned us a role play, a particular situation where we would have to counsel somebody who with a particular problem. And Bob was part of that program, and some guys from down in Florida were part of the program as well. Dave Nicholas, who became pastor of the church that Kennedy had pastored before he left the pastorate and then actually died. But so we had a great time, and that was my introduction to biblical counseling, and then also I was trained at that particular point. And then after that, I was pastoring this church in Media, Pennsylvania, and I would preach, and I of course thought I was accurately interpreting scripture and applying the scripture and using it in a very practical way. And yet we had people who were part of that church who they sat under what I think was fairly accurate biblical preaching, but their lives weren't changed. And it was at that point that we developed a counseling ministry in the church, and people began. I set aside a period of time, one day a week was entirely devoted to counseling, and the rest of the time I was studying the Word and having Bible studies and visiting people, etc. And I saw people, lives change, marriages change, through counseling that had not been changed through what I believe was fairly accurate biblical preaching at that point. And it was while I was there in that church that I got a telephone call from a pastor down in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And he said that Jay Adams had given him my name. He was a Southern Baptist pastor, and he had been reading some of Jay's books. And he said that he called Jay to find out who he could recommend to come to Louisiana and train Southern Baptist pastors and do some counseling. He was a pastor who not only had a church, but he and his brother owned an oil company, and they had a considerable amount of money. And he said, "We need this kind of teaching down here." He said, "Could you recommend this?" It's a Jay. "Could you recommend someone who could come and do counseling? I'll cover all the expenses. We'll give him an office, and we'll cover if he needs help. We'll cover those expenses as well." And so I moved into Louisiana at that point. He paid all the bills, and I brought along with me a young man who was just finishing seminary, and he came and became my assistant in a Christian counseling center in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And we then began to train Southern Baptist pastors in the area of biblical counseling. I was somewhat of a neophyte myself, but I had learned a few things, and we were doing counseling and had the nicest office that I've ever had in my entire ministry, and it was all paid for by this man. And so I was there teaching and doing counseling, and somewhere along there, Dr. Bob Smith, I happened to have him down for a seminar, and we were having some difficulties in ministry, not in our marriage or personal lives, but in ministry. And Bob was a tremendous asset to us at that point, giving us some really good counseling. Mm. And it ended up that the fellow who brought me down to Louisiana, he made all kinds of promises. I asked him a lot of questions, and he gave what I considered to be the right answers. But it became evident before too long. The young man that came down with me to work in Lake Charles, Louisiana, he fired him. He said that I had control of the ministry, but you know, he was the one paying the bills, so he had a lot of control too. The result was that this young man, who had given up a lot to be able to come down to Louisiana with me. So anyway, we were there for a period of time, and at that particular point, Howard Eyrick, who is a longtime biblical counselor, had been part of NANC, and now is part of ACBC. But Howard Eyrick was working for Christian Counseling and Educational Foundation just outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, across the street from Westminster Seminary. Mm-hmm. And Howard was leaving CCEF at that point, and they were looking for someone to replace him, and Jay suggested that they ask me to come back. And so at that particular point, we left Louisiana, came back to Philadelphia, and for the next 15 years of our lives, I worked at Christian Counseling and Educational Foundation, along with Dave Paulison was there at the time when we came. Ed Welsh came in later. Paul Tripp came in later as well. But we were the counseling team there and the teaching team. We not only had classes at CCF, we also went across the street to Westminster, and we did all the teaching as far as pastoral theology and counseling at Westminster seminary. That it was during that period that they began, that there were a number of fellows who were in the doctoral program as well as the MDiv program. And so we were not only the counseling staff at CCF, we were also the teaching staff in the area of counseling at Westminster at that particular point. And so that was a little bit of the background that I had at that point. And I worked there, and as I say, for CCF for 15 years. I was the supervisor of counselors at that particular point, and I was in charge of the, every week we had a counseling staff meeting. We'd get together and they'd share their cases and ask for help, and we talked it over. And so we had, as I said, Ed Wells and Dave Paulson and John Bettler, and also we had a couple of other guys there who some of them had graduated from university and were psychology majors, but somewhere along the line they got straightened out and became biblical in their approach to counseling. And so they were there as they were part of our counseling staff as well. And so I was there at CCF, and then we started a branch of CCF up in the Lehigh Valley area of Pennsylvania, and I was the director of that. We counseled and we taught and so forth. And along the way, John MacArthur began to realize that the psychology courses that they had at what was then Master's College were really teaching that which what was unbiblical. And so the result was that Masters closed up their psychology department, and then they said at that point, now what do we do? Well, the only thing they knew at that point was there was an organization called NANC, the National Association of Nuclear Counselors. And so two of the professors, one was Dave Maddox, and another was a man who is now who taught at Masters for quite a while, and he's now pastoring a church somewhere in the southeast section of the United States. And they knew of NANC, and so two of them flew to Indiana. And NANC at that particular point was located in Lafayette, Indiana. Actually, that's where the headquarters was. And so they flew there, and they talked to Bill Good, who was then the executive director of NANC. And Bob Smith was very prominent, too. And at that point, they realized they needed an organization to certify biblical counselors. And so that's when NANC began, and I was part of the group that founded NANC. And they wanted Masters, they've been praying for quite a while that God would give them a college or a graduate school that would be committed to biblical counseling. And now the Lord had given them Masters, and Masters needed, they wanted to replace their psychology department with biblical counseling. And so they began to look for someone that could come and head up the biblical counseling department. Well, there wasn't anybody who had the academic qualifications as well as the commitment to the church and commitment to biblical counseling, anybody that was available. And that's when Bob Smith, a medical doctor, said that he would give up his medical practice for a period of time and come out and get the biblical counseling department at Masters started. And so Bob did that. Bob was a very good friend with Bill Good, who was the first executive director of NANC. And Bob came out to Masters, to begin the biblical counseling department. Bob is a medical doctor, but totally committed to biblical counseling. And it was at that particular point where they're looking for somebody. You had to have, whoever did it had to have the academic qualifications and also be committed to the church, mm-hmm. that to see counseling as a ministry of the church. And so Bill Good, who was pastor of Lafayette, a Faith Baptist Church in Lafayette, and one of the founders of NANC, he came to Pennsylvania, where I was working for CCF at that particular point. And he took us out to dinner one night, and he said, "Wayne, you know, we've been praying that God would give us a university, a college that would be committed to biblical counseling. Well, he's done that. Now we need someone who has the qualifications to come out and head up the program." Bob Smith, Dr. Bob Smith, he's committed himself to for 1 year or 2 years at the most, because he wants to go back to his medical practice in Indiana. And he said, "We think you're the man that should replace him." And at that particular point, John MacArthur was contacting me by telephone and so forth, asking me to come out. And I was at that point directing CCF in the Lehigh Valley area of Pennsylvania. We flew out to California, met with John MacArthur. He asked me a lot of questions. I asked him a lot of questions. The result was that he asked me to come and take over the biblical counseling department and develop it because Bob Smith was leaving. Well, I was speaking that June at a conference in San Diego, California. CCF had an office there, and George Scipione was actually the head of that. And so he had a conference every June, and I had been asked to come to speak at that conference. And so on the way to that conference, we stopped and saw Bob Smith at Master's College. And Bob said, "You know, you're the man who is going to replace me. I've committed myself for a year or two at the most, and then I need somebody, we need somebody who will take over." And at that point, I said, went on my way without too much really thought about it, because I was happy working for CCF and directing the office in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And anyway, I went on to the conference and then came back, and then they pursued me and kept after me until finally I said that I would consider it. And then that was when we came to Los Angeles, spent time with John MacArthur, and he shared some of his vision. And it was clear that his commitment was to a biblical approach to counseling. He had written a wonderful book about Christ being the center of counseling. And agreed that we would come. And so John, at that particular point, said that when I came, there were several things they wanted me to do. One was he wanted me to oversee writing a book, which would be called Introduction to Biblical Counseling, which subsequently has changed the title, and now it's How to Counsel Biblically. And I chose the people who would write chapters in that particular book, and wrote, I think, 7 or 8 chapters myself. So I was to write that book. John wanted that along with the other books, which he had already produced in reference to other aspects of the pastorate. Mm-hmm. And so the second thing that he wanted me to do was he wanted me to develop a premarital counseling program for Grace Community Church. Grace Community Church, of course, is a church of about 7,000 people. And so they have a lot of younger people who want to get married. And they wanted a program in premarital counseling. And he asked me if I would develop that program, which I said that I would. And so those were two of the things they wanted me to do. And we came, and by God's grace, we were able to do both of those things and develop a premarital program where we had a Sunday morning where I would teach for 13 weeks on various aspects of biblical counsel of marriage. And then every person, we had 70 in that first class, 35 couples who wanted to get married. And we had them there for the class every Sunday morning. And then they would we would pair them off with a trained couple who would do the individual counseling with them. And they were, no one was allowed to get married at Grace Community Church unless they had gone through that course and also had the biblical counseling aspect of it. And at that point, I had just produced a premarital counseling book, which they'll use. And it's still in existence today. And now it's published by Presbyterian and Reformed Publishing Company. And it's called Beginning to Counsel, Learning to God's Way of Marriage. And that book was used and still is used.
Yeah.
As far as training people in biblical counseling. So that's a little bit of my background.
Thank you for listening to this episode of 1514. If you'd like to know more about the ministry of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, you can visit our website at biblicalcounselingcoalition.org. You can also contact us at podcast@biblicalcc.org. Special thanks to Carrie Felton, our podcast producer, who arranges and coordinates these interviews, and James Wills, our podcast engineer, who does the sound editing and makes these episodes sound so great. I thank you for being with us again and hope you can join us next time on 1514.